They bought me from Little Rock, Arkansas, in the Southern Association.
Did they have a working agreement with Little Rock?
No, no, they didn't. Just, they bought me on a, I found out later, they bought me on a 30-day look basis. You know, in those days they used to do that. They buy a player and on a 30-day look basis, and if he stays with the club 30 days after the season starts, then they'll they put a down payment on him, and then they put pay the balance if the player survives and stays with the club.
I see. Did you join the Sox for training? I think it was in French Lick in 1944.
Right, yeah, 44. We trained at French Lick Springs, Indiana.
Bill Nicholson told me it was a gambling town. There were a lot of slot machines, and I think a wasn't it a spa?
It's a resort, too? Right. It's a spa, and they have all kinds of baths. We enjoyed the baths while we were there. You know, after we work out, they had the sulfur baths. Mm-hmm. You fill a bathtub full of sulfur water, you know, and lay in it for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Then you'd have to scrub that stuff off, but it was great. Then they had a masseuse, all kinds of masseuses down there, and they had a steam bath, and they had a sauna bath. In the pool, and it was great, but it was a miserable time working out in that cold weather. So.
You personally didn't like it?
Oh, no. Well, it was, you know, during the war years, and you had to work out someplace and had to be close to where you, to the town. They didn't allow any of that spring training, you know, cross country and so
right.
forth, so just had to make the best of it.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, you went to Terre Haute in 1945. What was that like?
Terre Haute, just like it. Just about, I think it's 60, 80, 90 miles from French Lick Spring. I think in 45, I think, was it Detroit? I think Detroit trained in Terre Haute.
I see.
In 44, and I don't know where they went in 45, but we went there in 45. In Terre Haute.
Yeah, they may have been in Evansville.
I think probably went somewhere else, yeah.
Now, what was the field like there? Were you playing on a golf course?
No, it was a regular diamond. It was a regular baseball field. I don't remember the particulars to it or how big it was or anything, but we worked out on that field, and it was a regular baseball field.
Wally Moses told me that when you started out, you were discouraged. You were thinking of converting to first base, that you hit pretty well. And Ted Lyons began to work with you after the war. Is that true?
Right. I was pitching, and then I was hitting the ball pretty good, and was talking about that. And then Jimmy Dykes, we discussed it a few times, and he was a little reluctant to doing it, too. And he said, I think you'd be better off if you just stayed pitching.
Uh-huh.
And then finally I decided, hell, I might as well just stay at it. But then in 46, after the war, all the fellas came back, and I didn't know Ted at all at that time. I never had met him or been around him.
Yeah, he'd been in the service.
But he was a great pitcher, which I knew he was. And so when he got back, I asked him, I come up and I said, would you be kind enough to work with me in a couple of things that I might need? He says, I'd be glad to. And he did. He did a wonderful job. And I always did maintain, even after I, you know, left in New York in later years, he's the one that put the finishing touches to me and give me the polish, you know, as far as a pitcher goes.
Now, you were known as a junk pitcher, I mean a finesse pitcher, off-speed pitches, and if I'm not mistaken, you had a distinctive rocking chair type motion. Now, did you have that when you first came up, or were you relying on the fastball?
No, it was just my natural delivery, but I just exploited it a little more afterwards when I found out how to go about it, you know what I mean?
Oh, I see.
So after absorbing a little more knowledge, and Ted helped me. Ted taught me how to throw the slow curve, and the junk stuff didn't. The junk man thing didn't come till I got to the Yankees.
Oh,
see that? I'll tell you the story on that. How that come about? But Ted taught me how to throw the slow curve, and taught me how to throw a short arm motion. Because he was a short arm pitcher and I was, but there's a long arm delivery and a short arm delivery, and I know you don't know what I'm talking about.
No, explain, I've never heard that.
Well, a full arm delivery is you take your natural windup with a full arm extension and you deliver the fastball, you see. And the short arm is you sort of start to pull, and you get about halfway and you get rid of the ball in a hurry. So you sort of like that. You see?
Well, it's
sort of
like a
flip. That's no hitch. It's just a flip, and you get rid of the ball quicker. But so that gives you two different deliveries, you see. And then applied that to my curve and slider and screwball and fastball, and then a long arm delivery. So that gave you eight pitches right there. Then you change speeds on it, so that gives you all kinds of things you want to work out, you see.
Terrific.
Well, Ted is the one that taught me that short arm delivery, you see. And he explained it to me how they operate with it. And that sort of revolutionized my pitching. And after I went to New York Yankees and I traded them spring of 48, I still learned after that, but I mean, I was a finished, polished pitcher then. All they had to do was give me the ball, and that was it. See, because Ted taught me in 46 and 7, he stayed with me and worked with me all the time, which I appreciated very much.
Now, Moses said that wind conditions were such in Comiskey Park that they had no big scoreboard in center field. The wind would whip off the lake, I guess. And balls which, say for Moses, would have been fair in Shide Park before he got traded were blown foul.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you as a pitcher were aware of that. Did you work left-handed batters inside and take advantage of the wind conditions or what?
Not too much. I didn't know that much about it. I did later on in the stadium work that way. They had terrific. I've seen fellas like Williams and Greenberg, depending on the variation of the wind, hit the balls into that wind, and the ball would just go like that up in midair and bring it directed right on back 30, 40 feet.
So, uh-huh.
And since they put the scoreboard in, it's cut out a lot of that wind, and the ball travels there pretty good.
I see. Is there anyone special on the 44 and 45 White Sox teams that you'd like to comment on?
Well,
let's discuss some of the pitchers. What kind of a fellow was Gordon Valsberger?
He was a fine fellow and a wonderful relief pitcher. He did I think 14-5 relieving. We were a seventh place club, you know, an eight club team.
That's terrific.
And he had a fantastic year. Another year, Joe Haynes was a starter and part reliever. He wound up with a 14-5 record. And then we had Orville Grove was there.
And Bill Dietrich
and Thornton Lee. Then Edgar Smith came in from the service. But another left-hander who pitched with me at Little Rock, he came a year later, Frank Pappish.
Yeah. What kind of a fellow was Thornton Lee?
He was a wonderful fellow, and I get to see him off and on now. He's scouting for the Cardinals out of the Arizona area. He's retired.
Am I correct in thinking that when he came back from the war, he had arm problems?
Oh, he was there during the war. He never went to service.
Oh, I thought he did for a few years.
No,
I'm sorry.
No, he was there. When I got there in 44, he was there with the ball club.
I see.
I think he had a touch of some kind of osteomyelitis in the shin bone or something, or where a leg had gotten mashed or something, and he had to wear a brace when he pitched in case he got hit on it. You know, it's a dangerous soft spot. I think that's what kept him out of the service.
Was there good rapport in the White Sox? Good morale with the team?
Oh, yeah. We had a good club. Most of the fellas were older fellas. Well, I enjoyed